Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy-to-use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at freshbooks.com/AAA. And by WordPress. WordPress powers 28% of all websites, including some of ours. Get 15% off your new website at wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode number 324, recorded on Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. Your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
How's it going, y'all?
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
You didn't trip yourself up there on the date there, Jason. Good job.
Yeah, you know, and I even had it right in the dock. It's just now I doubt myself so much that I'm gonna step over it, even if it's right. You just never know, because I do a lot of this work the day before.
Not to think about it.
But then when I don't think about it, then I really mess up.
And then that's what makes for a really funny end of the year reel.
I suppose so, because we don't let anything die.
No, we don't.
We keep it around forever and ever and ever. Welcoming back, of course, because he's been on many times. It's always a lot of fun. Tim Schofield, YouTube. You might know him as QBKing77 or QBKing77.com. I think QBKing77 everywhere, right? That's your thing.
Yeah, just about every social media account you can think of.
Right on. Welcome back, man. How you been?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Is that your studio that we're seeing behind you, all the reflectors and everything?
Yeah, pretty much. Just nice. Some camera equipment, lighting.
Right on.
Every time we have Tim on, he upgrades a little more.
It's
just
true.
Getting to be a little more pro. I like it. So
that's exactly what it is.
We were talking about it a little bit in pre-show, but we should ask you during the actual show. We got to meet in person, in real life, at Google I.O. This was your first year at I.O. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. It was a great time. Like I said, I met a lot of really, really fun people, really cool people. It was nice meeting you as well, Jason. And I think overall, in terms of from my perspective and on my side of things, I'm there hoping to make some video content. And the amount of things that Google came out with that was able to make content on was kind of lacking in comparison to past years. So it was a great experience. I'll probably continue to go every year from here on out. But just this year, couldn't get as many videos out as I'd hoped to.
I wonder if that's the point.
Well, I mean, they certainly have changed kind of the focus of the event over the past couple of years. But yeah, I felt like when it was at Moscone, they had the big demo area and there were lots of opportunities to see this cool new app or whatever. They had those here, but it was, I don't know if it was more spread out, so it felt like it was harder to find or what it was. You, Ron, you were going to say something.
Yeah, we had talked right after I.O. how this was one of those quieter years where it was a lot more infrastructure based and no big product announcements or anything like that. So, you know, maybe next year we'll swing in the opposite direction and we'll get on, you know, new devices or bigger announcements and that sort of thing.
And maybe Ron, maybe you'll be there next year.
I would love to. As long as if they take it back to San Francisco, then I would consider it. I'm not going to Mountain View, though.
Oh, come on. What you got against Mountain View?
Standing in the parking lot, hot pavement. No, thank you.
97 degree heat. You know, it's a dry heat, though, Ron.
Yeah.
You know how well I do in the heat. So, yeah.
We have a lot to talk about. Boy, howdy do we. We've got the OnePlus 5. We're going to go hands on.
Boy, howdy. Come on, Jason. What did you tell me before the show? You said, just commit to it, Flo. Commit.
Yeah, then you call me out on it.
Because you gave me great advice.
That's true. I appreciate that. Keep me honest, Flo. That's all I ask for. OnePlus 5. Flo's been hanging out with the OnePlus 5, getting all buddy-buddy with the OnePlus 5. Also getting all buddy-buddy with Bixby Voice.
We're good pals.
Yeah, you've got a lot of friends. Plus, we'll talk about the new Nokia 6 coming to the U.S. Sega Forever, which I think is kind of interesting, although I've heard some really mixed things about it.
Yeah.
The platform wars that's evolving around augmented reality. I think that's a really interesting topic. Editable tweets and a whole lot more. Brian, it's good to have you back. Are you ready to deliver the news?
Well, yeehaw, Jason. Hope you're all ready for a rodeo of Android news.
I'm sorry I ever said boy howdy.
Brian is from the studio's hometown, so...
That's right, little lady.
Naturally.
I enjoy myself a good portion of Android news.
It comes naturally to Brian.
And he has chickens.
Do you have chickens?
I do have chickens. It's Petaluma. Of course I do.
Well, I mean, lots of people in Petaluma have chickens. Our neighbors have a rooster, and that's awesome. At 4 o'clock, I'm not kidding, in the morning.
I do not have a rooster. I have 4 hens, and they are lovely ladies.
You would. Mm-hmm. Just Brian and his hens.
I don't actually think they're allowed to have the rooster, but they do anyways. Why? Because 4 o'clock in the morning, every single day. And I'm not joking. We have white noise just to flush it out. Anyways. Let's talk about technology. Google has to be. I have to imagine Google is a little bit nervous here.
I'm nervous.
Are you nervous?
I'm personally nervous.
There is an augmented reality war that is brewing.
Yes, and I might be wrong for the first time in a long time.
Wow, for the first time ever. You've never been wrong in your entire life.
It's true.
At Apple's WWDC, Worldwide Developer Conference, a few weeks ago, Apple introduced, and it kind of seemed like, just another thing. AR kit.
Yeah.
Augmented reality kit or AR kit for taking off-the-shelf iPhones and bringing AR functionality to it for developers that can get started on it right now. It's going to launch in full by the end of the year. Anything that I've seen here, and you guys tell me, correct me if I'm wrong and tell me what you think about it. Any of the examples that developers have been able to create in the past couple of weeks since they've had access to this is on par with anything that I've seen Google do with Project Tango, something that requires additional hardware in order to pull it off. When you're talking about all the iPhones more or less in existence,
yes,
out of the box being able to replicate what Google requires hardware in order to pull off, I think Apple's got a winner here. And it just makes me wonder why, if Google had 2 to 3 years head start on this stuff with Tango, why they chose the route they did if this was obviously doable without extra hardware. It's really cool stuff. What do you guys think? I'll just throw that out there and go for it. Who wants to start?
I mean, so I'm like, first of all, worried because now I'm going to have to basically eat my words.
What were your words?
My
regurgitate
words,
those words before you eat them again.
I don't really remember what those words were. Maybe they were just thoughts and dreams that I've had because I dream about these things.
About Tango specifically?
Sure. But I mean, I was so excited to see all this technology in use last year, this year, Google I.O. We've been talking about all these augmented reality and virtual reality, like dual phones coming out. Oh, it's going to be great. Lenovo's going to make them. Asus is going to make one. Guess what, guys? Nobody uses Lenovo or Asus phones in the United States, really. Compared to the Apple iPhone.
And if they do, nobody's buying Tango devices. Now, granted, there haven't been that many, but that's the problem. That's kind of the big overarching point.
And that's what I mean to say in that comparison is that this stuff is super fun and awesome, and I love to see like the real world application of it. Like, for instance, Chromebooks, really exciting. Where have we seen it like really thrive? In the education sector.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible we're going to see that for Tango as well, because like they've created a sort of ecosystem around that, because they know that, I feel like Google knows the classroom is a good place to sort of improve on these technologies.
Mm-hmm.
And also because, you know, they aid education, but I feel like Apple's going to be the one that takes it mainstream, just like they did a lot of other technologies. Let's be real.
Well, because they've lowered the barrier here, because developers are already getting started. Anyone that has an iPhone will immediately have an AR machine.
Who wants to buy a new phone? Like, phones are already expensive enough for the lot of us. We already have to deal with going through a carrier. Who wants to go to their carrier and ask for a 2-year, you know, contract on a phone that's very specific for this one thing, but maybe isn't as great as another phone you could get for the same price?
Yeah. selling on the technology itself as being the key motivator for someone to buy
that
device.
Which is not going to work outside of the enthusiast sphere.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim? I mean, we were talking earlier about the lack of things at Google I.O. One thing that you could find there was a nice, healthy-sized Project Tango demonstration area. Did you play around with that stuff? And what do you think?
I did, actually. Yeah, I went through that demonstration, saw the different gap one where it projected and closed on your body, all that good stuff. But I honestly think it's been out for so long, and the fact that so few manufacturers have grasped it and even produced a device. Like you said, only Asus and Lenovo have devices. And I think that's really what is hurting Google and the Tango, because developers are looking at it and saying, okay, none of the manufacturers are going to manufacture these devices for Tango. Why should we spend time developing for it? Because there's such a limited amount of people that they can reach with those devices, because nobody's buying it, like you said, especially in the US. Mm-hmm. And now that this ArtKit's come out with the ability to use it on every iPhone, or specific iPhones that are out now that people can just download and install, it just opens up that many more people. And I think developers will look at it and say, I'd much rather develop for this because I'm going to have way bigger of a target market to reach.
Yeah. You talk about all the things that Ron particularly hates. Yeah. Is developers choosing to develop for one platform before the other. I mean, that's what we're setting up for right here, right?
Potentially. I mean, I think I do think that Google's kind of assigning of Tango to a over to the side, you know, kind of exploratory, you know, kind of almost boxing it into something to not be widespread adopted is going to hurt in the long run. I think it's good that Apple is taking this step because competition is good. And if it can increase awareness of what AR can bring, then maybe that will tear down the walls around Tango and Google to make it a little more consumer friendly. But that said, I mean, Flo, not to, you know, naysay or devil's advocate or anything, but like, just because Apple's doing it doesn't mean it's going to be brought to the masses, because Apple still has done a lot of stuff that they themselves box in themselves as hobbyists. I mean, like Apple, despite everyone wanting them to for the past 10 years now, has not overhauled and changed the living room. You know, the Apple TV continues to be a hobbyist device. It hasn't really taken over the way the iPhone has in that kind of category. You know, it's something that some people use, but by no means is it the de facto standard. So just because they're launching ARKit, I mean, look at HomeKit. HomeKit hasn't really taken off either.
That's true.
You know, so, you know, just because Apple decides to do something doesn't mean it's instantly going to be a hit.
That's very true. I'm mostly thinking of just the fact that, like, I just think about my iPhone using friends who, like, I've had, for instance, a GIF keyboard on my phone way before they had it integrated in iMessages or whatever, their keyboard app. And it's like, now they know that that's a thing that you can do, that you can, like, reply with GIFs. And so now all the iPhone users are sort of doing that. And so I just imagine maybe the same thing could happen for AR, in the sense that look how easy it is for me to just tap a button on iOS and do this cool, like, AR effect. And to that end, you know, I could just see my friends being like, oh, did you know that my iPhone could do this cool thing? And then I have to be like, yeah, I know.
Well, that sounds more like a Flow problem than an Android problem.
All about Android and Flow. What can I tell you?
If Apple does that and makes AR more adaptable, then of course the developers on the Android side are going to want to get in that just as much.
Totally.
And I think competition is healthy, and kind of expansion of awareness is a good thing. So I'm glad Apple's doing this. I hope Google opens it up, you know, opens Tango up. I think part of the Tango device requirement is a limiting factor. And if Apple can figure out how to do it with the iPhone with the same old equipment, I think Google should figure out a way to port Tango or create an AR solution that works with any Android phone, because then think about the potential of that.
Yeah, that would be way better than having to have a phone with, like, very specific amount of cameras and an infrared sensor.
Right.
Which is great, because that helps us technology. I mean, we see how this technology is used in, like, more industrialized situations. I'm just thinking of, like, how NASA used Tango, and that's, like, really cool. But I think about consumers and so many cameras.
There's a lot to convince. There's a lot to convince a consumer why they needed to buy a device just to do AR.
Yeah.
But if you already have a device and now suddenly it can do AR. And I don't know if you guys saw the there was a video of one specific project where they laid out on the table an actual tape measure. And then they loaded up the AirKit app that was a tape measure app and basically virtually laid it out side by side with the tape measure to show how accurate it was to real life.
That's cool.
It wasn't perfect, but it was dang close, which makes you have, which you have to ask yourself if Google, this right here,
that's
you have to ask
cool.
yourself, like,
oh my gosh.
If Google has devoted 3 years to this specific hardware to pull this off, and Google's doing it with just, you know, components inside the phone already, you have to imagine that Android devices can do that too, because I'm sure there's very similar components, there's similar analog components across the board. And why did they feel they needed to do it with hardware? Because if there's a difference, and if Tango is better, which they're saying, yeah, but it's still more accurate, I mean, the difference is minimal when you're talking about real-world application.
Look at the user experience of this compared to Tango. Like, I just think about how long it took me to figure out that measuring tape app on Tango versus, look at that. It's just, I mean, this. It looks easier to me. It looks less intimidating.
Well, and somebody just threw that together in the past couple of weeks.
But I mean, I'm saying that as like a tech head. That looked less intimidating to me than maybe what I've used with Tango.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't even really used Tango much outside of like demonstrations.
Yeah, Google. At Google is the only time I've used Tango. It's a couple times.
Yeah.
So what I saw was cool, but I like this because that means now my friends will know about it and they'll get excited about AR and VR. And then that means like I can get them excited about all the next gen stuff that I
whatever it happens to be.
I want my friends and I to hang out and like Facebook virtual reality, but somebody's got to sell them on that idea because I'm not going to do it like if they're not using Android.
Yeah.
So.
Understood.
Thanks, that Apple, for helping my friends.
Flo, you got the next one.
I do have the next one, and this is actually really exciting considering we were just talking about how maybe Google needs to work a little harder. Apparently, Google Home really is that awesome. And actually, a New York digital marketing agency called 360i, they fed 3,000 questions into both Google Home and Amazon Echo and recorded the results to see which one was more accurate. Surprise, surprise. Google Home was 6 times more accurate. Of course, we can't deny the fact that unlike Amazon's Echo, Google has years of its knowledge graph development, plus all the work that they've been doing on Assistant. I mean, we've got lots of departments that are just devoted to this exactly. Amazon Echo, though, not surprisingly, was better with retail-based searches, which are you surprised? I mean, Amazon is all about selling you stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, now that the Echo Show is out, like, does Google Home have to
catch up?
I
don't know. Ron, you are the biggest home fanatic possibly here on the panel. We'll ask Tim in a second. Maybe he's a bigger home fanatic.
I want to hear what Tim thinks of Google Home because we haven't heard about that yet. But no, I think Google Home, I'm not surprised by these results at all because Google Home is powered by Google, whereas the Amazon Echo is powered by Amazon. And Google has spent 20 years refining search engine technology. So, of course, it's going to be better. I think Echo Show is really cool. And I think that what they're doing with the Echo brand and the way that they're addressing needs of people in the home to, you know, make a home device become ubiquitous is really smart. And I hope that Google doesn't just rest on the air freshener and they kind of look at ways to innovate, you know, like a screen for video conferencing and stuff like that would be really cool. But you know, Google's going to lean on what Google does, and that's search. So that makes sense. But Tim, do you have a Google Home? What do you think of it?
Yeah, I do. I got one when it first came out. I've got it sitting right here at my desk, actually. And I would say I don't use it as much as I thought I would. I have it controlling lights in my house. And at least in terms of smart home, that's it. I don't have a Nest thermostat or anything else like that. I will ask it questions here and there in terms of maybe some sort of traffic updates or weather, just a random question here and there. But I do also have an Echo, and I noticed right away that it did a lot better at transcribing what I was asking it and giving back the correct answer without having to word a specific question the correct way. And I think that's what Google has done better with Google Home in comparison to Amazon Echo. Echo, you really have to figure out what the set way to ask it specific things is. Otherwise, it's not going to quite understand what you're asking it. For me, Google Home, and they actually announced this at Google I.O., I think for me, what they need to do is have more functionality going from Google Home to your phone. where you can kind of connect the Google Assistant, whether I'm talking to it about directions to a specific place, and then being able to send those directions to my phone, as opposed to asking it about the directions, picking up my phone, typing in the same place over again, or even just sending text messages, making phone calls. Those aren't out yet. They are coming, but I think to me, that's what Google needed to do to actually make it more functional for me personally.
Kind of bridge that gap. We completely agree with that. I have my lights hooked up to my home, but I don't really use it to control my lights.
I used mine to lull me to sleep last night with Sounds of the Ocean.
I saw that tweet, actually. That was a clever use.
I was surprised. I didn't think I could, because we have these dogs that bark like constantly.
Do you have any roosters?
No, but we have these terrible, terrible dogs, and I can tell that they need to be freed. But it's hard because they're barking all night, and I can't. I'm a light sleeper, even with earplugs.
Wow.
So I put on the ocean. And I asked Google to let me hear the ocean last night.
Did you say let me hear the ocean?
Yeah, and then I woke up this morning and it was silent. So that means I don't even know. I didn't even check my phone. Yeah,
how long it went off for?
I don't know.
No, you know what? It was always listening. And it was waiting for the. the snoring, and then it killed it.
I can't believe I fell asleep to that. I was not. I don't know. We'll see what other scene I can conjure up tonight. Maybe a Wild Western.
Good job, but I mean, I've said it before on the show. I mean, I've got Google Home hooked up to my lights. In multiple rooms. I've got in the morning, you know, me and my girlfriend, we say, okay, G, you know, good morning. And it goes through the news. It plays NPR up first, and then the Times, the Daily, and all the other great stuff. And then I use it for timers in the kitchen, like set a timer for 20 minutes. And, it's just like it's there. And when you have a question, it has the answer. And I find it is a lot better, easier than taking my phone out and typing it in when you're in the middle of cooking and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, you know, like it's a lot easier than take my phone out and set the timer for 7 minutes and press start. And then, you know, like have the phone nearby for the alarm to go off. It just when it integrates into your life, it becomes something that you don't depend on. But it's something that's there that if it went away, I would notice it being missing.
Yeah, it becomes an option, especially as the kind of hurdle or the barrier to actually interacting with it is lowered, and that happens the more you use it. Real quick before we move on to yours, Ron, ScooterX did point out something that I meant to put in here. Google Home now in Canada.
Yeah, so that's
news, and also multi-user support in the EU. Capabilities are broadening.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, speaking of Google, there's Canada. Well, speaking of Google Home, you guys might remember a couple of weeks ago, I got a lot of flack for loving that Burger King ad that was very sneakily using the Google Home to get people to find out what a Whopper is. And if you remember correctly, if we go back in time, I said that not only was it a genius ad, but I bet you the ad industry celebrates it as well, and I bet you they agree with me. And sure enough, that ad did win an ad industry award from the jury at the Cannes Lions Awards. The Grand Prix prize was awarded in the direct category, and basically they found it impressive how the ad was able to reach people in their living room in new ways. And now keep in mind that the ad was useless a few hours after launch as Google disabled the functionality from the ad. But the ad industry, the whole purpose of the ad industry is to get people to find new ways to connect people to sell products. Yeah. And this did that. And I am not surprised at all. I won the big award at the Cannes Lions Awards. I don't know. I still stand by my belief that it was a great ad. I don't care what you guys say.
They do it on Snapchat now and like the OKG. And they also do the Alexa one on television.
Who does it on Snapchat?
I don't watch the full ad.
but there are ads that you can watch on Snapchat that are calling it out to do
Yeah,
more
that say OKG and it says the whole thing. Like,
oh, interesting. I hadn't heard about that.
And it's a
I kind of like it. I think it's hilarious. I also don't know anyone with a Google Home, so it doesn't affect anyone I come in contact with. So yeah. I'm the only one that was affected by it.
Maybe it's less offensive because of the fact that like nobody has the device, so it didn't really actually annoy that many people.
I think the fact that people cut it was the whole reason that it got such popularity, just because they decided to stop it.
Regardless, you're right, Ron. No matter what, the whole purpose of the advertising, you know, and marketing industry is to figure out creative ways to reach people with your message.
Like the new
Kendall.
That
was a pretty creative way.
Yep.
Yes, exactly.
Like sorry.
Like lock screen of
the... jumped in before I knew you were finished.
The Kindles and
but
stuff.
I just was thinking about the Kendalls.
All right, so we've got...
And their man buns.
They're man buns.
And the Kendalls have man buns now.
I thought you were saying Kindles, and I was like,
no.
Yeah, ads on the Kendalls.
Kendalls. Barbie's
Kindles, Kindles, Kendalls. What show are we on right now?
Jeez.
I got Barbie on the mind. What can I say?
The Kendall fire. No, that doesn't work. the man buns. They are pretty funny, though. All right. Quick feedback time here. AAA@twit.tv. If you ever want to leave us an email, you can. Forest Lake from far north Queensland, Australia, wrote in to say, I understand that a glass-backed phone looks classy and an alloy-covered phone has that certain something to it, but... I live in the tropics and always stay away from these phones. I also did this when I lived down south just under the snow line for the same reasons. Metal and glass take a while to heat up, but also take a while to cool down. That encourages moisture to get into the phone. A phone encased in plastic can be as strong as alloy or glass, but loses its heat quicker than the two also. If only manufacturers could come out with their sleek and sexy phones, but also with the same phone in a plastic model for customers to choose from, a standard and a premium model. What do you guys think?
I think that's why Samsung has a separate active phone.
Okay. Yep. And are the active phones, they are plastic? Are they plastic design?
Well, they were the last 2 years.
Okay.
They were very rugged, rubber enforced, shockproof, water resistant.
Okay, so Tim, do you think there should be a plastic Pixel?
I just don't think that would sell very well. I think that's just kind of what it comes down to. And it just doesn't look nearly as premium or as good. Especially with phones starting to add water resistance now, I just don't think there's necessarily a market for it, other than very, very specific scenarios like this one.
Remember when all the phones were plastic? You remember that?
I do. Oh, I do. I had many of them. I remember. Do you remember the Do you remember the Galaxy Nexus? The Samsung Nexus yes. Galaxy?
The Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah,
how quickly you forget.
Wireless.
Yeah, that was just all, and that was all plastic, wasn't
that
it?
Was?
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
With a removable back.
Yeah. I had it. I had that phone. Oh, I love that phone. I love the early Nexus phones. The early Nexus, like, they were really, really good. But I mean, the thing is that, like, you can't account for every time zone, every temperature zone or every sort of thing. And those are, you know, if you live in a tropical area, you live in a snowy area, whatever, you got to be aware that that might be. And then you want to look more towards the rugged kind of phone. I think that, that's just a fact of life. And they're going to go, the direction of innovation on these phones is going to go where, you know, the design trends take them, but also what makes a phone more durable and last longer and hypothetically or go obsolete quicker. I don't know. It depends on which one the companies want.
Yeah. And, you know, and Tim, that's a really good point. There is this trend, this move towards making devices at the very least water and dust resistant. More so than they have in the past, and you know, with some even further. So maybe as they do that, this becomes less and less necessary. But there are people that love their plastic phones. There are also people that love their smaller phones. Not everybody falls into the large premium phone category. You know,
I was just gonna say I will back up Forrest's comment about having a standard and a premium model. I wish the divide between the $700 phones and the $400 phones wasn't a rarity to have great options in either in the middle or more on the affordable side. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the push towards premium phones and flagship phones and $700 price tags is just not consumer friendly. And I like it when we see phones, be it from OnePlus or be it from other companies or things like that, that are more affordable and still high quality.
I just have to apologize. I'm sorry I ever said the words plastic Pixel.
Yeah, that was gross. That was like cursing on television.
Yeah.
Although, you know, the Pixel 1 is not waterproof, so maybe there needs to be a plastic Pixel until they bake that in. Maybe that needs to be in the Pixel 2, whatever that is. You think Google's going to make that happen?
Yeah.
They kind of have to, right? They got raked over the coals a little bit for a lack
of... Yeah,
okay
if they keep the bezels, as long as maybe I could duck my phone in water, you know.
You can drop it in the toilet.
Drop, you know, well. Yeah, without worries of my investment being...
I'm gonna admit something.
What? Did you drop it in the toilet recently?
Not recently.
Oh, a while ago you did?
Probably about 2 weeks after I got it. I didn't tell anybody because I was so ashamed.
Oh, that is... that's not shame.
Wow.
That's okay, Jason. Yeah. Did you put in a bag of rice?
No. I got it out and it was a clean toilet. Just so you know, it was just water.
I mean, I was gonna ask, but
well, somebody wants to know if this was ever dunked in a not clean toilet. And I'm just using it every day. I wouldn't do that.
Clean it.
I mean, it went in. It was probably only in there for like a second before I got it out, and I was scared. And I was like, I guess I'm just gonna live and see what happens.
I've had
and
nightmares so far, so good. About that. I've had nightmares about my phones falling in water and just like losing them. Like a family member dying. That's how bad those things are.
Frozen in time, frozen in history. Yeah. That
and
phone
so now,
is
what,
just
screaming.
What is the fuel for that nightmare? Is it the loss of the data on the phone, or is it the cost to replace a new phone?
The loss of the... Oh, man. I got to have another bad dream and think about that. I'll get back to you next time I journal.
We're peeling the layers. Yep. We're peeling the onion right now. We're figuring this out.
I'll get back to you on that, Ron.
We've really got a lot out on the table today. I feel
we
closer
to
you guys.
We have more to get out, though. So.
All right. So let's get there. First of all, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. We all live our lives online, and there are a million and one things that can be cleaned up by the fact that everything's so convenient online. The real world counterpart is not nearly as convenient. The mortgage experience is one of those things. It wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's that convenience factor. Everything's easy to get to. You don't have to pull out paperwork, find information, all that kind of stuff. It's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds based on your income, assets, your credit. Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of that and all of the home loan options that they have for which you qualify, and then find the one that's just right for your unique scenario. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support of All About Android. All right. This is we've been looking forward to this, and I have not actually seen this phone in person, but I'm about to, and so are you. We're going to go into some hardware. The 6. That's what this is called, right? You factor it out. You run the math.
The 1 plus 5.
Oh, the 1 plus 5.
Or the OP5, as I like to refer to it in my file names.
Sup, OP5?
this is the 1 plus 5. What I have here is the 8 gigabyte with 128. Wait,
8 gig of storage? No, 8 gig of RAM.
128. So, actually, here, Jason, since you haven't seen it,
haven't.
And you're an amazing hand model, why don't you take that while I...
Will I need to unlock it? Or will it unlock?
Yeah, you will, but here. You know my password. It's the same thing it's always been because I'm a terrible...
I do a good job of not knowing anybody else's password but my
own.
That's
good. That's good. I shouldn't have anything incriminating on there either.
Okay, well, I'll find it if you do.
So this is the OnePlus 5. It's the most expensive phone that OnePlus has made thus far. It's the successor to the 3T, the 3 and the 3T, which came out last year. The base model is $479, and that comes with 6 gigs of RAM and 64 gigs of storage. This one that Jason's holding on camera right now, for those of you audio listeners, has, like I said, 128 gigs of onboard storage and 8 gigs of RAM. It's an extra $60. And it does have an expansion slot, so you can add to it if you really need to. This is also the only version that comes in this like really nice matte black finish. So if that's what you're looking for, you'll want to get the $60 more one, which would put this phone over $500.
Okay.
Actually. What else? It's got a 5.5-inch AMOLED display. It's only 1080p. And by the way, I totally misspoke on the new screensavers last weekend. I said it was IPS. Sorry, y'all. It's AMOLED. But that's why it's so nice and bright, and you can actually see it in the sun a lot easier than maybe the last couple of models over the years. This runs the latest version of Android 7.1, has a one-touch fingerprint sensor on the front, coupled with two other capacitive buttons. And so that fingerprint scanner will work as a home button if you want it to, give you a little haptic feedback. And the good news is there's a built-in game tool software that you can implement to keep those capacitive buttons from being accidentally activated when you're doing something important on the phone.
When you're playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, which is actually what was... I was getting frustrated until I realized that the game tools can help me with that little issue.
Oh, cool.
See. There we go. Sonic 1. What can I say? Going back old school.
It's great. It's classic.
There's also a 3,300 milliamp battery in this thing, and because it's only a 1080p display, you've got pretty good battery life for most of the day. Not really an issue here. Of course, it also has its proprietary charging method, the dash charging, which you will have to buy the special accessory, the special cord, and the adapter that comes with it. You can't, it's not interchangeable with quick charge, sorry to say, but they're pretty affordable on Amazon, so if you want to stock up on those. I think now is the most big part of the OnePlus 5, which is its dual rear cameras. What we have here are dual 16-megapixel cameras. Dual cameras. One is 16-megapixel. One is 20-megapixel. The first one is a bit better for low light because it's got an aperture of f1.7. The second one is a bit better for zooming since that shoots at 40 millimeters compared to 24 millimeters in the primary. So it's got more of a focal length. And I can say that the zooming in of this phone is pretty impressive. I don't know if we want to... This is going off script, but if you wanted to try it on camera, I have a little pal here
okay,
for you.
Okay, a little pal.
That you can zoom
okay,
in on.
Okay, and zoom!
Yeah, you gotta, gotta hit the 2X so you can go in on the second camera. And there you go. Yeah, that's the zoom. Of course, you can zoom by pinching or the screen. The reverse pinching, as I like to call it.
And then any further than that, and it's Disney
Yeah,
zoom,
any
right?
further, it's, yeah. And then I did bring some camera samples.
Nice.
We wanted to go through some photos real quick.
Photos. Let the photos begin.
These are just some photos that I took over the weekend outside in sunny California.
Oh.
Lots of
your flowers.
Very vivid flowers. So one thing I did a lot of these, Brian, you can just kind of scroll through them as you like. One thing that I really enjoyed using, though, is the portrait mode, which you can see in some of... So this is using a portrait mode. This picture, it's got a very, like, nice blurred background. It's very seamless. It doesn't look like it's trying too hard. It's pretty impressive, actually. You can just choose any focal distance that you want.
Now, how do I kick that off in here? Is it...
Brian, do you mind if we go back to the camera to do a live
depth
demo
effect.
Real quick?
I gotcha.
Yeah, so if okay. we can try it now. Since
so I've got that. I'll go swipe like that. Let me get some stuff in the background.
So basically, Jason's holding the phone, and there is a depth effect that you have to slide to. So instead of sliding over
so
to video.
Normal camera.
Yeah, you would
this
be sliding over to depth effect. And so tap on little Android friend, because you got to put him in focus. But you see where you tap him really matters on how it focuses, because if you tap him on the belly, his face is going to be out of focus. But if you tap him on the head,
right,
your standard Android robot.
I kind of got it.
And plus it's dark in here, so you can't, you don't have as much detail to pick from.
Cool.
So the pictures in daylight, of course, are just really great. 60 megapixels acting here. But then... brought some low light shots too, which were very interesting.
And that would be the number three, Brian.
Yeah, sorry, Brian. I was like trying to be organized about it, and So I put together a couple of night shots that I took. This is just of my little assortment I have at home with candlelight. So the first picture is of the OnePlus 5. As you can see, it's a little more like red. It's a little bolder. Yeah. The second image is of the GS8. It's much yellower. And the third image is of the Pixel XL, which I think is actually the brightest of the three.
And it seems a little bit less color influenced.
It is also less color influenced because remember back to the initial Pixel reviews, what we had said is it shoots a lot like the GS. Well, I think we said GS7 at the time. I don't remember. But it shoots very accurately, but the colors, because they're so accurate, like you will have to do a little bit of post-processing.
Got it. Yeah, that's right. That's
right. Very vivid. And that was kind of, I mean, that's how it performed across the board, the OnePlus 5. It was pretty good in low light situations with maybe needing like a little help. In this photo, we had just candlelight again. OnePlus 5 was actually a little blown out, but not as badly as the Pixel XL.
Yeah, you see it on that watch strap. And on the watch face.
And the Pixel, because remember, the Pixel XL has those problems with the glare. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you shoot directly into the sun or with like a major light source in the corner, like it will bleach out the rest of the photo. And then the, and yes, that's Jesus because I am Romanian Orthodox. So, of course, I have those in my house. The OnePlus 5 did really well just lighting candlelight. And so what I did is I focused in the back because I wanted to see how it deals with the ambient light from the candle. Yeah. And the details are really clear. The GS8 actually struggled the most of these three. And as you can see there in the background, you can't see on camera, but when you zoom in, there's a little less detail on the GS8 than there is on the OnePlus 5 and the Pixel. I think the OnePlus 5, though, has all of its pixels, megapixels working in its favor in this sense. So.
Nice. Those are some good comparisons. Now, Tim, I think you said prior to the show, you have one of these as well, right? You've been playing around with the OnePlus 5?
Yep, got it right here.
What are you thinking?
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm liking it so far, actually. I'm a big fan of less skinned Android, so this fits that bill because of their Oxygen OS being very slimmed down. They offer a dark theme mode, which is nice, especially coupled with that AMOLED display it has. Overall, I've been very happy in terms of battery life, the camera. I mean, low light, it's not as good as some of the other top-tier phones out there, but it still does the job for most average consumers. So I think overall, they've got a winner. This is probably one of my favorite OnePlus devices I've used.
And they had said leading up to this, they made a really big deal about the camera array on the back and about how, you know, they realized that a big priority for users right now is quality of camera. Do you think that the dual camera setup here and the quality of the images that you get justify their kind of their passionate stance about that with this device?
So far, yes, I think so. There was that big debacle. I actually just made a video about this yesterday about the zooming in. Someone posted a video that got popular on Reddit talking about how when you go to zoom in and use the telephoto lens, the second one, if you zoom in, it doesn't always work. And the main factor behind that was that it's not getting enough light because of the aperture of that telephoto lens. So I had to show up. I mean, I made a video explaining that to people because everyone was grabbing their pitchforks saying, oh, OnePlus, what are you doing? You're cheating us, which was ridiculous because the iPhone 7 Plus does the exact same thing. And it's just how those camera lenses work. It just determines out the amount of light that you have. But so overall, I think that the camera has justified their claims and everything. It's not a flagship priced device. I would say the camera doesn't compete with, for me, the Galaxy S8 camera. That's probably my top one at the moment overall. But I do like that it does have a telephoto lens. It does come in handy at times. At the price point, I've been very happy with the camera performance.
Yeah, I think this is your video, OnePlus 5 video camera.
Yeah, that was the one I made. Yep. Yeah.
I was going to say, it's also really speedy because it's got the double press the home button double press the power button to quick launch the camera. And it's very speedy.
You want that out of a camera.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got like a lot of RAM in this thing. So it's going to be
too much RAM.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how you test this, but is 8 gigs actually, like, I don't know, is there a point of diminishing returns when it comes to memory on these devices? Is Android even touching the full 8 gigs?
I remember I was reading in Android Central's review is that the phone had topped out, but it was definitely way below the 8 gigabyte threshold.
Especially with the slimmed down OS.
Right.
What, Ron? Yeah, but even then, a wise computer engineer once told me years ago that you can never have enough memory.
That's also true, Ron, and I keep that in mind. And like for an extra $60 to get 64 gigs more storage on a device that like is just as speedy and just as capable of competing with the flagships. I mean, if you think about it, this is the number five.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends. The 3T, where that falls, and
Anyway, OnePlus has had the absolutely great fortune of being able to have several iterations, and OnePlus 5 is kind of maybe a little iterative compared to past versions of its phone, but that's good news. That means that business is good. It's keeping going. They're going to keep innovating in their own way to make their customers happy and just deliver a solid, unlocked product. It's a really good phone, too, for people who just don't want to deal with like all the politics of being with a carrier or, you know, just maybe not wanting to deal with all the politics of being in the school.
Well, that goes back to the point I've been making a lot this year, and it came up with the Essential announcement, is that like all the marketing embarrassments aside, I like what OnePlus is doing as a company from a product line, and I hate the fact that aside from people watching the show, no one knows about it. And I don't mean just this show. Aside from enthusiasts and aside from, you know, hobbyists and people who are really into phones and things like that, like the OnePlus could be a phone that I would give to my sister to use, you know, whereas previously I've been giving her, she's been on the HTC, you know, the M line. I would consider giving her the OnePlus, but the fact that you can't get it in a store makes it a non-starter for somebody like that.
Yep.
You know, I wish OnePlus would, you know, even, I mean, say what you will about Essential and Sprint, but at least the Essential phone will be in a store, will be purchasable somewhere other than the Essential website. If OnePlus could get into Verizon or to T-Mobile, and we actually see, you know, I've never seen a OnePlus on the subway. You know, like that's kind of my approach with it. I think they're great phones that nobody knows about except for people like us.
Android in the wild. You know, OnePlus devices would be perfect for that segment. Yeah,
bring it back.
I was gonna say you can't compare to what you see in the Bay Area because
this is a weird.
Right? No, I'm talking about. I feel like in New York, I have a pretty good. You know, say what you will about New York and Northeast and whatever, but you know, you see a lot of people on the subways, and also you see a lot of people standing waiting for the subways because they stopped working this year, and it's a real shame. But you know, I see a lot of phones and I always take note and I try to look to see what's there. And I see a lot of Samsung. I see a lot of Apple. So
just to cap this off, one little caveat. Sorry, guys, if you're on Verizon or Sprint, not really a phone you can use.
Yeah.
Can't use
maybe they shouldn't do a carrier deal with Verizon or Sprint then. Go to T-Mobile. It'll be fine.
Yeah. If you got T-Mobile or maybe you're on an MVNO, like this will work. Or, you know, you got AT&T or maybe.
Do you think the U.S. is more of a secondary plan for them in terms of India being their main one? Obviously, they include a dual SIM in this model. So that's not U.S. I mean, most people I know don't have two SIM cards. So
that's targeting to a different kind of user, you mean? That's
exactly.
Targeting to a global user.
Entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Man, I want a dual SIM phone. I wish more phones came dual SIM.
Do you have two SIMs?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Come on.
Oh,
who do you think I am, Jason? Of course I have two SIMs.
I got to ask. I got to ask for the record. I've been doing jury duty, so, you know, I like to get everything on the record. Real quick before.
You know how I got out of jury duty. Okay,
we'll talk about it. I'll remember that for next time. Tony Doles, by the way, wrote in to us and asked us, does OnePlus 5 support T-Mobile Wi-Fi calling? As far as I know, yes, out of the box it supports that, right?
Yeah, didn't
it's
the last
much full
one support
for,
it too?
For T-Mobile services. So that and Volt, V-O-L-T-E, yeah. So.
Volte. That's how I like to pronounce it.
All right, good. Good look at the OnePlus 5, and it's a really nice feeling.
It's super nice. You can touch it some more if you want.
Thank you.
So it's a good phone, right? I mean, is that the net of it? Is that
It is.
And especially if you don't want to deal with carriers or Google,
which
yep,
or Samsung or LG.
If you just don't like dealing.
If you just don't like dealing and you just kind of want to be under the radar, probably a good phone, especially in matte black. Very Batman-esque.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, if you don't want to deal with any of those, you might want to deal with Nokia. And
okay.
So the Nokia 6 is coming to the U.S. for just $229. The fine folks at HMD are bringing the Nokia 6 after getting some buzz at the Mobile World Congress a couple of months ago. This beauty is running a Snapdragon 430 with 3 gig of RAM and 32 gig of storage. It's a far cry from the OnePlus there. It's got a 5.5-inch 1080p display, 16-megapixel rear-facing, 8-megapixel front-facing, 3,000-milliamp battery, microSD, dual speakers, and only T-Mobile fully supports it. It's going to have partial support in AT&T and no support on Sprint or Verizon. I would like to know what partial support in AT&T means. That just means the first 6 buttons in a phone on the phone work, or like what is that? Like what is partial support? The text messages are truncated after 100 characters. That's it. Sorry, partial support. HMD has talked a lot about fast updates and keeping on top of the security updates. So we'll see if they come through with this. What do you guys make of this Nokia low price, partially supported phone?
I'm still reeling from the guy I heard with an old school Nokia 3310 in the like co-working space I was at last week. So like just you mentioning Nokia, I just do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Is that... That's a Nokia thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. That was the Nokia ring.
I haven't heard that in a really long time. Yeah. It's stored in
exactly
a strange
that's
part
what
of
I
my
associate.
Brain.
Like I just I don't know if I can get on the Android train.
I didn't see a Nokia phone, but I was in Texas this past weekend and I saw not only one but two flip phones, like feature phones.
You did a write up on flip phones, right? On a Samsung flip phone.
Yeah, I want that phone.
Yeah,
right.
I want it.
Yeah, but this was like the old school, like it just was the flip phone, and the guy just flipped it and talked to somebody, and then I saw someone else with one. I was like, right? Whoa, yeah. So
they were so much anyway. Fun to open and close.
They were, and you just Hello. Like it was the original. Goodbye. It was the original fidget spinner.
Yeah,
totally. You would just open and close.
Yep.
My hinge was so worn down on my flip phone. Same. I would do that all the time.
You'd close it and it would just kind of hang there.
Sometimes I'd use it as a money clip, which was not a good idea.
No, over time, that was a really bad idea.
This is what happens when we talk about Nokia, by the way. We just digress and talk about old Nokia because...
I think a lot of people are actually pretty excited for the Nokia with Android coming to the U.S. It's not a high, you know, it's not a high spec device, but... No, maybe it doesn't have to be. You know, the loss of the Nexus leaves a hole for low to mid tier devices to fill, right? So there we go.
That was Motorola's job. Sorry.
Maybe the plastic Pixel will fall in that category.
Maybe.
when it ever becomes a thing. Let's thank a sponsor of today's episode before we move into the apps portion of today's show. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by FreshBooks. FreshBooks is awesome. They have an all new version too of their cloud accounting software. It's going to make running your business easy, fast, and secure. The FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summary and profit and loss. All super handy. New time tracking features make it easy to bill for time by client and by specific projects, so it makes it easy to keep track. You can start a timer directly from the FreshBooks mobile app for Android, so you can always have an accurate log of the time that you worked. And when it comes time to create an invoice, you'll already know what you did and when you did it, and that invoice is a piece of cake. You can create professional-looking invoices on the go, wherever you happen to be. Just do it wherever you happen to be, on the bus, whatever. Send your client an invoice right from their office using the FreshBooks mobile app on your Android device, and you get paid by the time you get home. Piece of cake. With FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice, removing kind of yet another hurdle for them to jump. Invoicing clients online will help you get paid an average of 11 days faster, in fact. See what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as outstanding invoices, so you can keep track of it all and say goodbye to paper receipts as well. When you're picking up the tab for a client lunch, or maybe you're buying supplies to start a new project, you just snap a picture of the receipt, capture your expense in seconds. FreshBooks is adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. They're iterating fast. You can send invoices to multiple people in an organization by adding them as secondary contacts. You can add unbilled time, to an existing invoice instead of creating a new one. Get a detailed overview of client payments with the new payments collected report. And, you know, all of this plus whatever new features they have coming down the line, it's no wonder that they were included in the Forbes Small Giants list for 2017. So you'll want to try it for free for 30 days. Just go to freshbooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And check it out for yourself, freshbooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android. And I think Bixby falls into apps, so let's go there. Apps. What? Ah, okay. I was confused.
You know,
and I thought you were telling me Bixby didn't belong in apps.
If we were still running with my old Brian demerit system, he would have gotten a demerit for that.
Jeez.
We need a big red button. That supersedes the TriCaster, and we can do an overlay that's like a big red X.
Exactly. How I miss the days of when I was giving out points for good performance by Brian on the show.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad that we don't know Ron.
Ron would hand him treats, be like, good Brian.
That was a fun time, right? Wasn't it?
Oh, it was all in good fun. It wasn't, it wasn't anything malicious.
What kind of treats? Hey, can I ask for treats, Ron?
Mostly goldfish. Hey,
there were no treats involved. I praised as much as I criticized. I just want that to be clear. When you did a good job,
you gave carrot as you gave the stick.
Yes, exactly.
It was fair. It was fair.
Yes.
Fair carrot.
All right, Flo, what do we know about Bixby voice now that both you and I have it?
Hi, Bixby.
Huh? Oh.
Hi, Bixby.
There we go.
What can you tell me about yourself?
Nothing, apparently.
Nope. Will it work for me?
It didn't work.
Hi, Bixby. What can you tell me about yourself?
We're going to have dueling Bixby's. All right.
I really don't want to talk.
We needed the banjo music during dueling Bixby's.
All right. Let's. Okay. So first of all, let's do a quick intro here because. So Bixby voice, as you may or may not know, is the virtual or the assistant that we were supposed to get with the Galaxy S8. It's the whole reason that this button exists on the side of the chassis right here. And I can tell you that after hanging out with it for a couple of days, I finally see why Samsung didn't want to just come out of the gate with this thing half baked.
Well, if it's here during the beta, you can imagine where it was when they launched.
So don't get your hopes up too much yet.
Forgive it. It is definitely
Jason
still
and
beta
I are in a beta, so we have our own. It's like we have beta Bixby Tamagotchis, so we're going to take care of ours for a while, see how they grow, how much we need to clean up after them.
Hit that button so it feels like it has purpose.
So the whole time, by the way, she heard me speak, and I know I keep genderizing Bixby, and I apologize.
It's a woman's voice.
She's listening to me. Well, she's not just a woman in the Korean version, because if you switch to the South Korean, you've got male and female voices to choose from.
Oh.
And they're both very soft and lovely. And so, by the way, Bixby does this a lot, where you'll see right now it is listening to everything I just said. And it's... there's a giant paragraph of words I just said.
Although, you know, if to be fair, this has happened to me many times with Google Assistant.
Yes, but just to say if it's accuracy, you don't even need to say the whole phrase. Like, it will identify that you're talking about it the minute you say Bixby. See what I mean? It just did it. I said Bixby. Okay.
Yeah, so what do you think about that, Bixby?
So, I think this is too bright. Sorry, y'all. So let's try and do... Let's try and do a okay, now it's too dim. Try and do a live demo. So this demo, Bixby, kind of flubbed on Saturday. We'll see how it works today. Open the gallery app. Okay.
Okay, that worked.
Select the latest photo.
It's thinking. It selected the...
Crop this photo.
Florence is asking Bixby to crop a photo.
Gosh. Okay, now it's copy the album. Let's try this one more time. No, you did it wrong. Crop the latest photo.
We are waiting to see if it will crop the latest photo.
Well done, Bixby. It 5XP. I'll explain that in a second.
Yes, I'm curious. Bixby does not support your
crop this photo.
We are waiting so again exciting. For some more cropping of photos.
I like the golf commentary.
Crop screen. This photo in 4:3 ratio.
Bixby is working to crop the photo in 4:3, and Bixby got
it. Done.
It's in.
Save this photo.
Bravo, Brian. Bravo.
Well done.
And it's saved. Okay, I just cropped.
Dang. Okay, so you did all that with your voice.
I messed up a couple of times, and that's because I kept, like, hitting the button too soon, and this button, by the way, once it's engaged, it's very, very sensitive. So, like, the minute you press it, Bixby knows I'm talking to her.
Samsung knows you're talking to Bixby.
Samsung knows I'm talking to Bixby. There's other things, of course, you can do with Bixby as well. You could check your email. You can
tweet. I sent a tweet over the weekend entirely with my voice.
You did. And the other thing you discovered. Bixby, tell us a rap. Tell us a rap.
Nope. That's not it, Flo.
Bixby, rap for me. He keeps listening to you, and it's not working.
No, here.
Okay.
Hold on.
We apologize. It's really slow. Inconvenience.
I have issues with Bixby because of my lock screen. Like it gets hung up.
Oh, I have no lock screen, by the way. So
okay. All right. So let me try this. Okay, I'm going to try this now.
We are now waiting for Bixby.
Do you know how to rap?
Here's a little something I've been working on about my origins. See, a while ago, in a secret laboratory, on a dark, stormy night, Samsung engineered glory. Someone cried, it's a lie, and the switch was thrown. And Bixby appeared in your phone, from photos to text. I'm your tech-savvy authority, connecting with voices, my singular priority.
Set.
Top, post, tech, stream, everything on screen.
Here. This is what I could be doing for a living. I could be writing raps for virtual assistants. I'm just saying.
Somebody wrote that. And actually, there's a few. There's different ones, right? Like, there's multiple different raps.
A Siri diss Samsung. That's like exists, which is
okay.
I mean, every phone is dissing on one another because
yeah. I mean, every virtual assistant is
still
spitting
makes
rhymes.
Us chuckle. It still makes us chuckle.
Yeah.
So there, just one more thing. So you may have noticed, those of you who are watching the video stream, that Bixby has XP experience points. Yes, Bixby has been gamified. It is like your own little RPG that lives inside your smartphone. So when Bixby does something wrong or when doesn't understand what you're saying, she's listening to me.
Yeah, you said.
You got to tell her that she's doing bad by tapping the little not good, and it will ask for you to fix it, to tell it how it could have done better, how it misunderstood you.
So you say, well done, you give it 5 experience points. And is there any way to track that over time? Or
yeah, so the way you do this is you go into your Bixby, and then you go to your settings, and then you don't go to your settings. What you do is you go into Bixby, and then you go into My Bixby, and My Bixby gives you this little readout your time with Bixby. It shows you how many XP you need to get to the next level, which I'm apparently, by the way, this will unlock some extra features of Bixby. So for instance, after I get to level 4, I'll be able to use different background colors. I can choose from something other than purple and blue. I can maybe choose a pink if you wanted.
Wow. I can really hope you get to that point.
Yeah. There's a little history. Lets you know how many convos you've had with Bixby, how many you told her was great, how many you told her was not. You can add quick commands. There's video tutorials. There's also, you can check to see Bixby Labs, like what third-party apps work. And at present, it's just pretty much Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Tumblr, WhatsApp, Play Music, Maps, Gmail, and Uber.
So you've definitely spent more time with Bixby than I have.
Yeah, we've been chilling. We've been having sleepovers.
You're long
pillow
friends.
Fights, watching My Big Fat Greek Wedding and crying over and over again. That is my sleepover movie of choice, by the way.
What do you think in the world of digital assistants? Do you think it has promise?
I can see. Okay, so it's really a different. I'm still exploring it. So that's why I've been using my Google Home so much, is because I'm trying to kind of explore this is a different world. This is a different use case. This is not you know, who is the, like, number one baseball player of all time. This is, can you please help me do this thing? I'm just, like, my fingers are wet and I need to post to the internet. And
I really
need
to crop this photo, and it might take me 2 minutes to do it with my voice, but I really need to do it.
It takes me 2 minutes now because I have no idea what the heck to say to this thing. I've never done this before. This is a new muscle memory for me.
But once you learn, you think that'll end up being a lot easier. And it's gotta be better at also responding immediately.
I want to be optimistic. And also, this is beta. This is a closed beta right now. I mean, it's got to get better than this. And I feel like the feedback I'm giving it is hopefully going to some engine somewhere in the Samsung sky, and they're looking at it and going, Flo has had this many negative interactions with Bixby. We should do something about that.
Yeah, right. Because that's kind of the point, right, of reporting. Yeah.
But I can see the point of why there's a button on the side of it. I can understand what they're saying with this is how to control your phone. Like, okay. I get it. I just need to use it a little more to really put into perspective where it fits in my life. So stay tuned for that, please.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for
that. Thoughts?
Concerns?
Concerns, yes.
I want to hear if Tim's used it at all, what he thinks.
I've used it not very much. I haven't had too much time with it. I do like that it seems like they're going more of the route of in-app changes and settings. In the Bixby settings, they actually kind of list which you can select a specific app, and it gives you a full list of those actions that you can take within that app to try and teach yourself them. So if there's a ton of them. If you go to the gallery, there's so many different things you can do. You could say select all the pictures I took today and put it in a folder, and it'll go ahead and do that. And it's nice they do it on a per app section, because you might use some apps more than others. So it seems like that route is a little bit better in comparison to Google Assistant to me, that they have more app by app basis of settings and suggestions that you can use for voice commands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the onboarding process was a little, you know, it was, showed me a video, would let me know how I could talk to Bixby, but as Tim said, I didn't go and read every time I say the name, by the way, it lights up, that's why I keep getting
distracted. You have to come up with a different abbreviation, like B, call it B.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Great, another
now
wake word we have to dance
hey,
around.
B, which maybe isn't, I don't know if I like that. Unlike Tim, I didn't have the patience. I had the patience to use Bixby before I could read through, which I could actually say to it.
I got a flow, why don't you call it Bay?
Oh.
Hey, Bay.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. I did that on this show once, and I will never say that word again.
It's okay. It's kind of anyway.
It's
anyway.
Faded. I can use it now. We don't need it anymore.
the time has passed for that.
We millennials cool have given that word up. You can have it, Jason.
All right. Well, shall we move on from Bixby?
Yes. Yes. Move on.
All right. So got to give it up to the developers behind the Twitter app Phoenix for taking a page from Gmail's book. One of the things that everyone's been screaming to Twitter about for years has been the desire for an edit button to edit a tweet. You know, you post something to Twitter, it's got a typo in it. You're like, I wish I could edit that instead of deleting it, reposting it, or just leaving it as is. But Phoenix, like I mentioned, took a page from Gmail's book, and I have the Gmail add-on that allows me to undo sending an email. And that's basically what Phoenix has now added to their latest update. So now when you type in a tweet, you get a toast message that appears on top of the app when you hit send, and it gets a countdown timer giving you an opportunity to say no and hit the X button and then go and make the edit. And when that timer hits zero, then the tweet is posted. So as opposed to posting the tweet immediately, you get a time period for you to look at it, make sure everything's right, and be able to undo it and quickly edit it before it gets posted. Very clever, very smart implementation there on Phoenix side. So
I don't know how many times I've punched in a tweet and I swear it's right. And then the second I see it out of that context of the compose window and I see it in the actual feed, that's when I notice immediately that there is a spelling error, or I left out a word, or the word's wrong, or whatever. So the fact that it pulls it up in a different view, and it's like, this is what you're about to post, and it's different, it's separate from the compose window, and you have the chance to undo. I think that's brilliant.
I like that your problem is did I have typos in my tweet? Not was that too revealing?
Should I say that?
Right. No filter.
Tim, I never hit send on those.
Tim, I have a question for you. What Twitter app are you using these days?
I use just the Twitter app, the companies. I tried to get into other ones and just didn't find one I liked as much. I mean, I'm on Twitter all the time, and the one that Twitter's came out with has done the trick for me. I do like the new implementation of activating night mode once dawn comes on and sunrise. Yeah.
I do gotta admit though that I'm not one to complain about like updates and things like that when companies make major things or whatever, but god dang Twitter, did you have to go to circle avatars?
That bugs you, huh?
That bugs me to no end. I like the square avatars.
Everything's a circle avatar now.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Don't worry. The triangle's next.
Hopefully.
Finally.
We're going to go through all the shapes.
We're lucky.
Weird internet world that we live in. Star's going to be fun, too. or heart. That'll be a good one.
I just want a star wipe. That's what I would like transitions between web pages to give me the star wipe. And then I would accept that as opposed to circle avatars.
I can guarantee you right now, Brian's frantically pushing buttons trying to find the star wipe.
I try to tee it up for him. It's easier than the Canadian flag, but yeah. So,
we'll see. I don't know. It might not be. We'll see if we can get there. But let's finally talk about Sega, who's hopping on the retro gaming release bandwagon. Sega actually has some of their games online that you can get to, some like newer Sonic games that you can download or whatever. But they're releasing Sega Forever, which is a collection of old titles.
I have
for
a title
Android
on
and iOS.
My phone, by the way.
So was that the Sonic one that was there?
Yeah, but we'll do it on this one because this has...
So you play that because I'm very curious to see. I have not done this on my own device yet. But so basically launch titles. They're from the Genesis era. Sonic the Hedgehog, of course. Phantasy Star 2, Comic Zone, Kid Chameleon, Altered Beast to start. Sega has plans to roll out more of these over time. But apparently the emulation is not that great.
They made a lot of weird little changes to Sonic, just to make an example for those of you diehard Sonic fans like moi. For instance, after I finish this whole playthrough, I can play as Tails or Knuckles. Which, hello, you couldn't do in the original, peeps. They didn't even exist then. And by the way, the controls on this is really hard.
Yeah.
So why is that bad versus bad? I mean, is the emulation physically like is it choppy, or is it just that they updated the game to add more characters?
Yeah, no, I just wonder if maybe that stuff was added in and maybe it wasn't like fully refined just because of what everybody's saying about the emulation.
Well, yeah, so from what I understand, Sega had apparently reached out to RetroArch, which is a very, very well respected emulator for a lot of these old consoles. Their emulation is done really well, and you don't notice any performance drop or whatever. Due to some sort of licensing thing, RetroArch said that the deal would have stripped them of their own rights, so they passed on it. And I guess Sega ended up going in the direction of using Unity to do emulation. And I think a lot of people are complaining that in the process, it just ended up with a version of these games that, that's just not as fluid, not as solid emulation when compared to a lot of the others that at this point, a lot of people have had a lot of experience playing emulated games. So there's a certain level of expectation. And when Sega comes out with their official version of it and it's not as good as what you can get in other methods, then people are like, well, what am I going to pay the money for? How much was that, by the way?
It was... $2?
Okay.
I don't remember.
I think that might be.
But it was hideous before I took the ads away, I will say.
Oh, is it just
like I was just
riddled?
I don't remember how much I paid, but it was an in-app purchase.
Oh, okay. So you download the main app and then you can get all the little games and
there's cute little things and it's for Sega fans.
Okay.
But it's a lot easier to play with a Bluetooth joystick, I will say.
Yes. I would fully agree with that. So, anyways, if you're a fan of Sega Genesis, that was the console I had. Yeah. When I was a kid, I had the Genesis. I didn't have this NES, although I wanted it. Or I didn't have the NES.
I spent some time with the Sega Genesis. I bought a used one for $50 in my junior year of high school and spent all this like Christmas break playing Sonic the Hedgehog while listening to Minor Threat. That was a fantastic Christmas break.
It's a good soundtrack for Sonic the Hedgehog. Yeah, that works.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was fun. It was formative.
Yes. Actually, I was wrong. I had the Genesis and then later got the SNES, so I had them both. But I'm a big fan of all this retro game stuff, obviously. So, you got the email.
Yeah, we've got an email. We've got an email from Jim, and Jim got an email. He got an email from Notography today telling him that they were going to discontinue the Android app at the end of the month so that it's time to back up. It's an older Win from Braun. You can still use the desktop version in a browser, but it's far from being a progressive web app. Going to try Letters and see how that works out. Anyone else heard of a company killing an app on one platform and continuing on without? Odd. Well,
so now I got the same email, Jim, and in fact, actually, there's a HTML link in the email, and Brian, I provided it if you want to pull that up. This is actually this is the email that Jim and I both got, where they explain that they're overhauling their technology platform, but due to the high costs involved, they're no longer making it financially viable to maintain the Android app for free. So my guess is that, you know, unfortunately, they didn't have the user base to support it, and they're focusing on web and iOS, and it is definitely, you know, Jason, you alluded to it earlier, where I can't stand when developers develop just for one platform. I've never heard of developers backing off of a platform and focusing on the other. So you got to wonder what's going on there internally at Notography for their kind of Instagram for words approach. But it's a bummer. It's definitely a bummer.
Instagram for words.
But it sounds like there are other alternatives with Letters.
Yeah.
L-E-T-T-R-S, by the way, not the full word, you know, because everybody's got to shorten their words. Because all the other words are taken.
Letters looks like a cool one. There's a bunch of other ones that do this as well. You know, so I'm sure, try which ones you like best. And Jim, let us know if you landed on Letters or landed on a different one. So.
Yeah. Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, let's thank our last sponsor of the evening. And we want to thank the wonderful folks at WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And, you know, we know that creating great things sometimes comes down to having the right support system. And that's why we're excited to have WordPress.com as a sponsor, because they provide a fantastic support system. We use WordPress.com every day. And let me tell you, whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, you'll make a big impact when you build your website on WordPress.com. Even if you don't have experience building a website, WordPress can guide you through the process. They have hundreds of themes to get you started. Just pick a template and make it your own. You'll get built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. And when you build your website on WordPress.com, you're a part of a community with support 24/7 when you need it. Come see why 28% of all websites run on WordPress and why more websites run on WordPress than any other platform. And I can personally attest to the power of WordPress. My personal websites, WordPress is my go-to option because the support is unparalleled and the tools are amazing. You can just install themes, customize them. Listen, I know HTML, I know CSS. I don't know it well. And WordPress lets me hide that fact because the tools are so great and the support is so amazing. So get started today with 15% off any new plan purchase. You can go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to create your website and find the membership plan that's right for you. That's WordPress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for their support and for making my websites work great. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. All right, it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, checking in on last week's poll here. I'm pulling it up, finding the results. It's taking me too long, but it appears that XDA Feed wins with 36% of the votes. Nice win for our guest from last week. Second place, 27% with Unrely Alarm. Nice. There you go, Rory. Cinetrack wins third place at 20%. And White Trip, fourth place, 16% of the votes.
Now listen up, folks. We had some startling results after this poll. After this arena poll, amazing adjustment to the standings. So through 25 weeks, of the arena poll. Thank you to Wade County in the chat room for keeping track of this. Flo, you are still in the basement in last place with 59 points.
Why you put me in the basement? You can't even just put me in like the spare room in the back, like with the window.
Well, that's because Jason's in the spare room in the back in third place with 65 points.
Have you seen my stapler?
I get no respect.
But let me tell you, leapfrogging both of you from last week to this week, in second place now are the guests with that win, pushing them past Jason with 67 points. And they are knocking on the door first place, which is where I'm sitting with 73 points. But it just takes – Jason could win this week, and he could bounce back on the guests. The guests could overtake me with a win this week. Tim, no pressure.
So much pressure.
No pressure at all, man.
So,
all right. So then, let's see here. So that means, who goes first? Then is that
who came
well,
in last?
I lost.
So Flo goes first.
So
Flo
me.
Goes first.
All right.
Yep.
So there we go. And then it goes. That's right.
Let's
I'm last. Well, I guess I'm the returning winner, even though I didn't win.
Oh yeah.
Win,
so you
right?
go last. Yeah, you should go last.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yep. So Flo. You are first.
I am first.
I'm very excited for this demo.
So I brought a little prop today to help test my app.
A plate.
I have to admit, I'm. When I saw this in the document, I was like, "Oh, really, Flo?"
It is a hot dog.
Ryan, I can show on the camera what I have here.
Oh man,
it is indeed a hot dog. Unfortunately, there were no tasty condiments in the Twit fridge. I was hoping for there to be some mustard here, but there was not. And I'm definitely not putting ketchup on my hot dog.
Not that hot dogs ever look like delicious or anything.
It's beef, by the way.
But a hot dog in the like surrounding area of the studio is so incredibly out of place, and it just makes it look even grosser.
I did boil this a couple of hours ago, so I promise it's somewhat.
Okay, that's why it's a little wrinkly. Okay.
My app, in case you can tell, is this one called Not Hot Dog. And if you are a fan of Silicon Valley, which unfortunately just ended its season, you will know about Jin Yang's app, which helps you figure out if something is a hot dog or isn't a hot dog. And so I was thinking it'd be fun for us to just try it on camera.
We need to know if this is technology that we can harness for ourselves in our everyday life.
Yeah, so let's see.
This is important.
Let's see if this works.
Okay. We're analyzing the hot dog with the app.
It's a hot dog!
And the app is smart enough to know that is indeed a hot dog.
Okay. It's you, and now, I can share it now to the internet if I'd like.
I think that you should.
Should we?
I think we need to, though, test it on a not
to
hot
see
dog.
If it's not a hot dog. Let's take this Android figurine.
If it thinks this is a hot dog, then it's got problems.
Yeah, so here's this little Android figurine. Let's see if it thinks this is a hot dog.
Not hot dog. That is amazing.
Not a hot dog. Amazing, isn't it?
Wow.
This app has really helped me in my quest to find the perfect hot dog.
Or not so perfect hot dog. Really just to find the hot dog.
You know, I have a real hot dog here in my hands.
So now this illustrates the problem I was talking about earlier, because the episode that featured this app came out, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Something like
and
that.
The iOS app came out the day after the episode aired, and now a month later we get it on Android.
What? That I didn't know that.
You're that far behind that
man, that hurts my feelings. We'll see if this works.
Blame fragmentation.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Oh,
well, there is a hot dog there. It's true.
There's a hot dog.
It to know that there was a hot dog in that picture.
All right.
Yeah,
it's a very funny app. It's very funny.
It's not funny. This is serious.
Did you guys watch the last episode of the
no?
Wow, the send off the send off. Oh, okay. I just say, as a TJ Miller fan, I was like, wow. And there's a great interview with him about leaving the show that everyone you should read that after you watch.
Which that isn't a spoiler because that's been big news
outside
of the show.
Yeah.
But what they did with him in the last episode, and then reading this interview, I was like, wow.
All right.
Talk about behind the scenes. So.
All right. No more.
Would you like a bite of my hot dog?
No, I do not.
Why?
I do not want any hot dog.
So what if I transported this 40 miles all the way from my house after boiling it?
And then was preparing it on a plate in the kitchen. She's like, I think the studio is going to smell like a hot dog.
Sorry. This is my home plate, though.
Oh, okay.
It's like I took a studio plate.
You can take that home and have it for dinner. Please take that hot dog with you. Please take that hot dog home with you. Thank you.
I'm really tempted to yell Jin Yang. Jin Yang!
All right, Ron, you're going to have to follow up the hot dog.
All right, well, listen, nerds. I know you like to lift the hood up on your phone, and in the past we've looked at apps to let you look at, you know, the processor and all the guts inside your phone. But inside your phone, there are lots and lots of sensors, and some people want to know what those sensors are and how they work. And now the wait is over. Sensoroid is my app. It is free in the Google Play Store, and basically all it is it lifts the hood up above of your phone and shows you how many sensors are in your phone and exactly what they are, who makes them, and how they work. So as you can see here, I know, Jason, when I open it on my phone, I have 39 sensors are available, you know, versus however many are available on your phone.
27. Man.
See? So there it is.
I've got so many sensors. Yeah.
So now, so in there, you can see, I believe the first one, actually go back, Jason, there, sorry. He's, the first one there is probably the accelerometer temperature double tap one, or no? What is that? I can't really see.
It's an accelerometer.
Accelerometer, okay, yeah. So now, so if you scroll up as well too, not your notifications, yeah. If you kind of scroll up on the, you know, kind of swipe down, there you can see the ongoing graph of what the accelerometer is doing. So tilt your phone up and down, and you can see actual results. Right? Pretty cool. But then there in the details, it tells you exactly what the center's name is, who the vendor is,
Bosch.
What version of it, the resolution, how much power it's taking, the range, just this ridiculous amount of data that, yeah, you get an ad, unfortunately. I just got the ad too. It is ad supported, unfortunately. So hopefully you don't mind that.
Spare your developers.
Don't actually drag that. This is not a game. This is an ad that wants you to drag that.
No, it's a game. It's a game ad.
Is it?
There's an X.
Is there an X? There we go. Okay, good.
I want to see who else makes things. Is it Bosch and who else?
Okay. So back up. You can hit the magnetometer. Magnetometer, right? And you see that's made by Bosch as well too for my phone. Who's it made?
AKM. I'm a big fan of AKM magnetometers.
Yeah, so there it is. So it's really, really interesting is that you have access to all the data about the accelerometer, the temperature controls, the brightness controls, the I've got gyroscope controls, like all these. There's even on my phone, there's a gravity sensor, which is just crazy when you think about it. Yeah, there you go. Yep, there's gravity.
Oh, Google made my gravity sensor.
Yeah, huh. So cool. Mine was made by QTI. Version 2. So, just neat details on how your phone works. There's the step detector and the step counter. Yep. So all your pedometer stuff. Just really interesting to see if you're the type of person, and actually, Tim, you might like this. You do so much with hardware and all this sort of stuff. If you want to know what is the actual guts inside of the machine, inside of the phone, and how it differs from other phones and that sort of thing, and also to see if it's working correctly, it's a good way to, you know, kind of test to make sure your phone is working. So Sensoroid, just neat stuff for the enthusiast.
Nice. Sensoroid.
Sensoroid.
Free with ads. I'm sure there's a way to remove the ad. Well, maybe there is.
No, there actually isn't. If you hit the action button, it just gives you information and you can favorite or share it. There's no paid version in app purchase.
All right.
So I respect that.
All right. So that is Sensoroid, and you can find it for free in the Play Store. All right. Tim, I have yours installed. I'll go ahead and show you how bad I am at it while you talk about it.
All right. So mine is a very simple, easy game, or just quick, not a lot of controls. It's called Rider, free in the Play Store. I think you can remove ads for a cost. I don't remember how much it is.
But $2.
Anyways, $2. So essentially, there's a couple game modes. One is just go as long as you can, which is what Jason's doing right. Actually, are you doing the levels one, or is this the one as long as you can go?
I don't know.
Well, there's one with levels. There's one with as far as you can go. Yeah, so there's levels. And then if you just hit the play button, it's just kind of to see how far you can go. So when you pick levels, you go through a progression. You try and get to the end without crashing. And all you have to do to play the game is press the screen. So when you're on the ground and you press the screen, it accelerates. And then if you're in the air and you press the screen, the car essentially does a backflip. And there's just a lot of neat little graphics. It's a simple game, something that I can just pull out of my pocket and play for 5 minutes at a time, or if I'm in an Uber or on the bus or something like that. There's a bunch of different bikes that you can unlock as well. Like I said, a bunch of different levels. There's themes, and then of course there is some progression in terms of getting a high score and just using Google Play games in general. It's a little difficult at first, but once you kind of get the hang of it, you can start to get a little bit better of just recognizing when to press the screen if you're on the ground, or let go if you don't want to flip too much. that would be my game.
It's very Tron-like. I dig it.
Yeah, definitely. Some neater graphics to it.
I'm very
bad. It's like the light cycles in Tron. I like it. I like the neon.
Dang it.
And I'm definitely more of a simple game person on my phone. If I really want to play an in-depth game, I'll go grab my Xbox or Nintendo Switch or something if I'm really in the mood for something like that. So this is nice that I can just quickly play it, not have to worry about sitting there for a long time and having to save progress or anything like that.
Oh, Jason, you're doing well there.
That's awesome. Oh my god, that's really focused.
Oh yeah, I've got I almost wiped it out there at the end.
Good job.
Excellent. So that's Rider, just kind of a quick and easy pick up and play sort of game with a cool visual style. I like it. Rider, find it. It's a Catch Up game. Catch Up has so many games.
Hey, you could put some of that Catch Up on that hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I don't like ketchup on the hot dog. I like mustard.
Where's the rim shot, Brian? Come on.
You got the crickets.
Give me some mustard and some onions, maybe a little sauerkraut and some tomatoes. Let's put it on there.
My app is, I saw this on Reddit and I thought, hey, this probably is, you know, would solve somebody's
five stars
challenge. This is a brand new app. It was literally developed a couple of days ago. It was developed because somebody on Reddit, on the Android subreddit, had said, I wish there was a way for me to share music from one music service and have my friends be on another music service and have that song like translate into their service. So someone made it. The beauty of app development. It's called Music Link, but then when you go into the app or when you share to it, it says Song Link. But do a search in Play for Music Link. And it supports, let's see here, it supports Google Play Music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube for music, and then Deezer is a new addition. So let's say I go into Play Music, which I'm going to do. No let's say about it. I'm going to get in there if my phone will catch up with me. New Slow Dive album. It's really fantastic. I want to share this with a bunch of friends. They're all on different music services, and I want them to all have this first track. So I go to share, and then there's going to be some information up here that you don't want to see because it's just people I know and everything. But I'm going to hit the Music Link button. It's generating a Song Link URL. So it generated there it goes. It generated a specific URL that I can then share with someone. Now, there's a link in the doc. If you click that, Brian, this is an example of a link that it creates. I could share this URL with someone and say, hey, you should check out this music. And they end up getting this. It works in mobile view or whatever. It's basically a web page built around the song that you're sharing with quick breakout buttons to listen on Play Music, Spotify, Apple, Deezer, and YouTube if it happens to be there. And so if you, and I think I can show this off on my phone, so I have a URL, if you go back to my phone, I have a URL that I saved. I'll go ahead and load that same page on my screen. And I shared it from Play Music, but if I wanted to go to Spotify, just hit listen on Spotify, it takes me there, and it starts to play it, although my volume is down. But anyways, it takes me to that song. So no matter what music service people are on, I mean, within limitations, and I'm sure that'll grow over time, you can share a song and they can find it on their service.
That's very cool. That's a very cool app.
Yeah, it's a single purpose thing, but it's nice to have there. And I mean, you know, it's a share to thing on the back end, so it's really easy to do. You just share to that, creates the URL, and then you can send that via email, or you can copy the URL and pay, or put it into a messaging app or whatever.
So it's just leveraging the search APIs of the platforms to find it, I guess.
Yeah,
right?
But I guess so. Yeah. They do the work, and then they post. They basically create a web page around that has all of the buttons to tap to take you where you need to go.
And don't clear their notifications.
In their screenshots?
In their screenshots.
That's my kind of person. Yeah. So it's called Music Link. If you do a search for Music Link, share songs with friends, you'll find it. But yeah, like I said, when you actually share to it, it says song link. So there's some weird little thing not syncing
it's
up there.
New.
Consistency.
It's like Bixby. It's new.
Hey, yeah, exactly. Cut it some
Did your phone activate?
No, I was just looking down. No, we're okay.
And mine did not either. So there we go. All right, so we've got a new URL for you to hit going forward here. Twit.to. We have our own URL shortener here in-house. Twit.to/AAApoll324 If you want to place your vote on the apps that we have here and let us know which you think is the best app of the day. Is it Music Link? Is it Not Hot Dog? Is it Sensoroid? Is it Rider?
Come on, Brian. Yes!
Oh.
Please verify.
By the way, I brought a Whole Foods hot dog, so it wasn't just any hot dog.
Oh,
that's why I can't throw it away. I have to eat it.
High quality.
It's like high quality beef, man. Yeah.
That's Bezos beef right there.
It is. That's a good title. Show title.
Wow, no.
That's some Bezos beef you got there.
Oh, man. Not good. Not hot dog.
Not that doesn't qualify.
Not hot dog.
Tim. It's always fun to get you on. Thank you so much for taking time out of your night and getting a little crazy with us tonight. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Always a pleasure. Happy to be back again.
Right on. And we'd love to have you back. Tell people what you want them to know as far as like stuff you're working on, where they can find all your work, all that kind of stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, spider.
Sure. any social media account at QBKing77, YouTube, Tim Schofield, or just QBKing77. Working on, like in this episode, 1+5 review coming very soon. More video coverage on multiple Android devices as well. So stay tuned for that.
Nice. Right on. Keep up the great work. And yeah, we'll have you back real soon. Really appreciate
Thanks.
It.
Thanks. Sounds great.
Right on. Thanks again, man. Ron, what about you? What you working on?
I've been dying to talk to Brian about Twin Peaks to see if he watched the latest episode.
Yes, I did.
Whew. Right, it was a game changer, that's for sure. And if you want to hear our heads explode, you can go listen to my other podcast, the Damn Fine Podcast, at adamfinepodcast.com, where me and Tom Merritt were joined by Anthony Carboni of the Star Wars Show and other great and We Have Concerns podcast, where we tried to make sense of some of the best abstract television I think I've ever seen in my life. Nice. It was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. So go to damfinepodcast.com, check that out. Also head over to ifanboy.com, where we're talking about comic books and comic book movies and TV shows and stuff like that. And follow me on Twitter at RonXO.
Yes, please do that. Thanks again, Ron. Flo, when you're not hanging out with the 1+5 or, you know, having movie night with Bixby, what are you doing?
I'm actually probably still going to be having more movie nights with Bixby as I'm exploring what it is that Bixby can, how it can benefit my life. Mm-hmm. But also I'll be checking out the 1+5 against the LG G6. Maybe you're trying to decide if you want to buy between those two. Just stay tuned to androidcentral.com because that's where you'll find it. Also, be sure to follow me on social media at OhThatFlow on Twitter and the Snapchats.
Nice. And you were just on Screensavers, right?
I was just on Screensavers. I was also on the Material podcast last week, which is on the Relay FM network. You might... Cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. What about you, Brian?
What about me?
You got any news?
I'm not going to say anything about Twin Peaks, but Ron, this, right?
Oh,
that shot, was that shot unbelievable?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But otherwise, what I'm up to, I'm working with Nathan Oliver Giles doing know-hows in the Padres' absence. So we've got a few episodes on Mondays that we do together. Ever have a dusty PC? Anyone?
You have a bunch of crud in there?
Sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. We talk about why you should clean that out, especially now that it's summer and everything like that, and a bunch of other stuff on know-how. But otherwise, you can follow me at cranky_hippo.
And you should. You can find me at jasonhowell.net, yellowgoldmusic.com, on Twitter at Jason Howell. And that's about it. That's all you need to know. But that is it for this week for this show. Thank you once again for checking out All About Android. We love having you guys back, and we love having people in the audience here. It's awesome to have you guys in studio. Thank you for stopping by. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter at Android Show. Subreddit is twitaaa.reddit.com to vote up and down stories you want in the show. Show notes and past episodes, full show notes at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes there, YouTube, iTunes, all over. And we're live every Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific, twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye. That's not a hot dog.
The waving Android.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.